Today we look at the positions of need on offense, ahead on the Locked On Jets podcast.
You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast for Tuesday, January 25th, 2022. I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com, and thank you for making this show your first listen every day. We're going to continue our look ahead to the Jets offseason today, and the focus is going to be on needs on the offensive side of the ball. In particular, I'm going to mention the three starting positions where I think the Jets are weakest heading into the offseason. There are a couple of different ways you can look at needs. I think that's always the focus as free agency and the draft approach. What are the big needs on the team? One of the ways you can look at it, and I think the most common way, is you just look at the positions where the team is weakest. There are a couple of other ways to view it, though, and over the next few days, we're going to take a look at all of these different angles, but we're going to begin talking about the weakest positions on the offensive side of the ball. Now, one thing I need to mention before we begin is you have to remember that the Jets have some starters who are hitting free agency, who have expiring contracts. And you may hear one or two of these positions I mentioned, and you may say, well, the Jets aren't so bad there. You have to remember, though, some players are going to hit free agency, and those players will either need to be re-signed or replaced in the offseason. So I'm taking that into account, because you cannot guarantee certain players are going to be here next year. You cannot take it for granted. So I'm looking at the team in the context of the players that are under contract for 2022. If you're not under contract, you do not factor into the team going forward until you're either re-signed or replaced. And I judge this on a couple different criteria. First of all, I look at player quality, but I also look at it in terms of impact, in terms of positional value. There's no quantitative formula, but I try and factor all of these things in to this judgment. So I'm going to begin with number three, and it might be controversial to put it as low as three, because if you're just looking at player quality, this might be the lowest. And that's the tight end position, but it gets knocked down a couple of spots because of positional value. Listen, the Jets have nothing at tight end. I think we know that. And probably the best tight end on the roster this last year was Tyler Croft. And, you know, if he's your best tight end, you have issues. He's a decent blocker. He's not quite what I'd call a third tackle style of tight end. I think there are some tight ends who just are pure blockers who give you nothing in the passing game. And to me, those players are essentially like having an extra offensive lineman on the field. I think Croft's a little bit more skilled as a receiver than that, but he's not a field stretcher. He's not a guy who threatens the defense in any way. And beyond that, I mean, you've got Ryan Griffin. I mentioned this last week. Ryan Griffin has pretty much one skill, which is he can find the hole in the zone on a short pass, or he can find the vacated area. I mean, he can read a defense in the short game. That alone from the tight end position really does not provide you a whole lot. Then you have Trevon Wesco, who the Jets drafted in the fourth round a couple of years back. Been a fullback. He was supposed to be a big-time blocker. Honestly, he entered the NFL. He was kind of a developmental blocker. He was a guy with the tools to potentially become a good blocker. Been very up and down in the NFL, though. And tight ends does matter in this offense. In fact, Mike LaFleur really likes using tight ends. The Jets ran the ball, according to this website, Sharp Football Stats. On their run plays this past year, the Jets ran out of double tight end sets 32% of the time, which is a little bit more than the league average of 28%. Now, you may say, well, that's only 4% higher than the league average. You have to remember, the Jets did not have very skilled tight ends this year. So with that personnel, anything above the league average seems like an awful lot, because it's not really playing to your strength as a football team. Now, you look at LaFleur, and one of the things I try and decipher is the way the 49ers offense ran, because I'm sure LaFleur has put his own spin on his own system, but really what the Jets are basing their offense on is what San Francisco did. But tight end is a very difficult position to decipher, because the 49ers had a guy who could kind of do it all in George Kittle. He's kind of the ideal tight end, and you cannot count on going out and getting a George Kittle. So when the Jets approach the tight end position this offseason, I think it's going to be kind of interesting to see what they value, because there are a couple different areas where you could see, well, maybe the Jets want this, maybe they want that. I mentioned that it seems like the Jets really want to focus on a tight end who can help the blocking game. But I don't think the Jets just want a tight end who can block. I think they're also going to want somebody who can help in the receiving game. And the 49ers have run an offense that relies a lot on the run after the catch. I mean, the last couple of years, Jimmy Garoppolo has frequently been near the top of the NFL when it comes to average yards after the catch on his completions. So they want a guy who can run after the catch a little bit. But the way the NFL is going, I mean, we're seeing more and more, and this is kind of a trend that Brandon Staley and Vic Fangio are responsible for. We're seeing more defenses in the NFL, more defensive calls with two safeties deep. And when you have two safeties deep, that means that they're split, and the middle of the field is typically vulnerable in coverage, opposed to a defense where you drop an extra safety into the box to help against the run. Then you only have one safety deep. He typically takes away the middle of the field, takes away the seam and the post. If you have two safeties deep, the middle of the field is kind of the vulnerable spot. And that's where the tight end lines up. That's where the tight end could do some damage. So maybe you want a guy who can exploit that area, somebody with quickness, somebody who can get up the field and challenge linebackers, run past linebackers, get to that spot, because it's not open for that long. So you need a guy who can beat the second level of the defense in coverage and get past and get to the opening before the third level converges on it, those two safeties. So, you know, what do the Jets value? And this may help us figure out where they're going to go in free agency. Are they going to focus on a tight end who's a big-time blocker? Do they want somebody who can run after the catch? Do they want somebody with the speed to threaten the seam? We don't really know. And again, it's difficult to say what the model is based on San Francisco, because there's not going to be a tight end available like George Kittle in free agency. And there's probably not going to be a tight end available like George Kittle in the draft. And even if there is a tight end like that available, he's probably not going to be able to produce that much for the Jets as a rookie. Rookie tight ends typically don't produce. So I think this is going to be kind of an interesting. It's going to show you what the Jets prioritize at the tight end position. But that's a subject for a different show, and I'm sure we'll talk about that going forward. I'm planning a series of shows where we go really into detail about each position group for the Jets in 2021 and what we may expect in 2022. For now, though, I think one thing I hope we can all agree on is that the tight end position needs to be upgraded for the Jets. It may not be the highest impact position in the NFL, but I think it's probably more important for the offense the Jets run than it is for a lot of other systems. So they got to find better tight ends, because this is near the bottom when it comes to tight end talent. And I don't think there's any question this group needs to improve. Now, there's another position on the Jets offense that I think has widely been recognized as a major weakness. It's one the Jets hopefully will upgrade in the offseason. They have a couple of internal options, although those internal options are not necessarily that inspiring. We'll talk about that ahead here on the Locked On Jets podcast. Tight end is obviously not very good for the Jets, but the quality of games in the NFL last weekend sure was, and BetOnline would like to wish you a happy betting new year as we continue our march past the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. With a new year and a new updated desktop and mobile website, sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to get started. Again, it's promo code LOCKEDON, it's one word with no space, LOCKEDON, to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. From football to basketball to hockey, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. Because BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Thanks again for making Locked On Jets your first listen every day. The Peacock and Williamson NFL Show podcast is going on the road to LA for Super Week. Follow the Peacock and Williamson NFL Show today to get the most comprehensive coverage of the big game. It's free and available on all platforms. On today's episode of Locked On Jets, we are looking at the three weakest starting positions for the Jets on the offensive side of the ball. Number three was tight end. Number two, I think this might be a bit controversial, but I'm going with right guard. You may argue that it should be number one. You have a valid point, but I'm putting this at number two. Now, one thing to remember, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif is about to hit free agency, so I'm not including him in my analysis of the right guard position, which factors into the weakness. In fact, if you look at the current roster right now, Greg Van Roten would be moving back into a starting role, which obviously would be an issue because he was the weak link on the offensive line early in the season. In fact, his play forced the Jets to make the trade for Duvernay-Tardif. And to be honest with you, Duvernay-Tardif was kind of shaky at times. I think he was okay. I think he was an upgrade over Van Roten, but he had his issues. He especially had some really rough games in pass protection. Now, there's the caveat that he had not played in close to two full years because he opted out of the 2020 season. I mean, prior to him stepping into the lineup for the Jets after the trade from Kansas City, the last time he was in real game action was the Super Bowl between Kansas City and San Francisco 2 years ago. So maybe there was some rust. But I said this on the show last week. I don't know that he's a guy you can really trust in a starting role. It's one thing to bring him back as a depth player, but you know, I don't love him in the starting role. And Van Roten, I think, is really kind of a backup. He's actually not the worst backup in the NFL to have around, but I mean, he got exposed big time this past year. In fact, you know what's interesting is there's been a lot of talk about George Fant at left tackle this year about how much better he was than he was in 2020 at right tackle. And there have been all these theories about how, well, Fant must be able to play left tackle and he can't play right tackle. I don't know how much I buy into that. And I think one factor people are missing is the quality of the guard next to him. Last year he had Van Roten next to him. This year he had Elijah Vera Tucker. And I go back, and this is really a long time ago, but it's easy to forget, but DeBrickashaw Ferguson's second season did not go very well for him in 2007, and that was because the Jets really mishandled the situation with a left guard named Pete Kendall, who was a quality player, who pretty much asked for a $1 million raise, and the Jets would not give it to him, and they traded him to Washington and replaced him with a guy, Adrian Clark, who was horrible, who pretty much destroyed the offensive line. You could argue helped destroy the Jets' season, and Ferguson struggled a lot. And I've always kept that in mind when I look back at DeBrickashaw Ferguson's career, because now you remember as this great player, and rightly so. Guy who belongs to the Ring of Honor, guy who's just a great Jet, never missed a snap except the one where the Jets pulled him off the field for a gadget play late in the 2008 season. But his career was almost destroyed. Maybe that's taking it too far, but his career was set back for at least 1 year because he had a really bad guard next to him. That's the thing you have to consider. And I think the Jets really need to look at the right guard position this offseason. Now, it's not as urgent because you do have other quality players on the line. And again, you have Fant at right tackle. I'm presuming Mekhi Becton's coming back, which would slide Fant back to right tackle. And, you know, he showed that he might be a player this year. You've been waiting for it his whole career. I had kind of given up on him a little bit after 2020, where he did not really fill the role very well for the Jets, but after this season, I think you have to have cautious optimism heading into next year. Then you also have Connor McGovern, who, after a rough beginning to his Jets career, really came on the tail end of 2020 and had a very strong season in 2021. In fact, if you go back, he was my Jets Player of the Year when I did the award show, which I'm sure surprised some people, but he had an excellent season. And then you have, on the left side, you have Elijah Vera Tucker, who I think is looking like a player at left guard. And then, you know, Becton. This is going to be a make-or-break year for Becton. I mean, if we're going to be honest with you, this year was lost. There are now questions. Is he going to be able to be on the field? Is he going to have durability? But there's I still think there's reason for optimism at other spots on the offensive line. So it's not necessarily a dire situation on the offensive line. But I think you saw that Van Roten really set this offensive line back quite a bit this season when he was in the lineup. And even replacing him with Duvernay-Tardif, who was shaky himself, it helped move things forward. It helped the Jets improve on the offensive line. But when you're bringing along a young quarterback, you want to make sure that his line is solid from 1 to 5. And beyond that, this is a Jets offense that really kind of depends on getting the run game going. And later in the season, I think there were games where they had success with the run game, and I think that took a lot of the pressure off Zach Wilson. So even though the rest of the offensive line seems to be coming along, I think that there's still a spot at right guard, which is a pretty glaring weakness. I think it's going to be a priority this offseason, addressing it either through free agency or through the draft. There's only one position left. You may disagree with what I'm about to say is the weakest position on the Jets' starting offense, but I think it's significant, and we'll talk about that ahead here on the Locked On Jets podcast on this Tuesday. Now, the Jets surely will be looking to add some players with upside this offseason on the offensive side of the ball. And with that in mind, I want to tell you about an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. It's called Get Upside. My listeners are earning cash back for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. and use promo code TOUCHDOWN for 25 cents per gallon or more on your first fill-up, cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Just download the app for free and use promo code TOUCHDOWN for 25 cents per gallon or more on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 or $300 a year in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get 25 cents per gallon or more cash back on your first tank. Again, that's promo code TOUCHDOWN. This is the Locked On Jets podcast on this Tuesday, talking about the weakest positions for the Jets in starting roles on offense. And one thing I want to make clear is that I'm talking about individual roles. So I'm not talking about the offensive line as a whole. I'm talking about one specific spot, which is right guard, as I mentioned in the last segment. So keep that in mind, because I have a feeling that if you're looking at this position collectively, you may disagree with my number one pick. But I think if you're looking at one specific spot, this is the weakest position for the Jets on offense going forward, and that's wide receiver. And let me explain why. Yes, I know you have Corey Davis, who, for all the grief he gets, is a solid player. That's one of your starters. Another starter is Elijah Moore, who looks like a really promising young player. But that third receiver spot, you have three starting receivers in the NFL. I don't know who's filling that right now, because Jamison Crowder is a free agent to be. Braxton Berrios is a free agent to be. Even Keelan Cole's a free agent to be. And again, you have three starting spots in the NFL at the wide receiver position. And I know the Jets may use a lot of two tight end sets. They're still using more three receiver sets. And that's why tight end falls to number three. Because tight end, at the end of the day, even though collectively that position is worse, even though your starter is worse than the best starter for the Jets at wide receiver, to me, in today's NFL, unless you have a really top-notch tight end, any starter at wide receiver is going to be more significant than the tight end. Tight end may be more significant for the Jets than it is in a team with another system, but at the end of the day, receiver's more important. And one of your starting receiver slots for the Jets, again, this is not collectively, I'm not saying as a group wide receiver is worse than tight end, but I'm saying there's one starting spot that has nobody right now. And it's going to be interesting to see what the Jets do this offseason. Do they bring Crowder back? You know, he's a quality slot receiver. Do they bring Berrios back? I think he'd be a stretch as a starter. They could bring him back as a depth player. I think he'd be a stretch as a starter. Or do they go for, like, something bigger? Do they try and use a pick, an early pick? You know, they have the 10th overall pick. I'm not sure there's going to be a receiver at four worth it, but do they maybe take a big swing with the 10th pick? Maybe do they go second round? They've drafted a receiver in the second round two straight years with Joe Douglas making the picks. One has clearly not worked out in Denzel Mims. Another is more promising in Elijah Moore. Another thing that's kind of interesting going forward to see is whether the Jets will have defined roles for their receivers, because there are different, even though wide receivers viewed as one position, there are definitely different roles. It's kind of like three different positions in one. You have your X receiver who lines up on the line of scrimmage on the outside, has to beat press coverage. You have your Y receiver who lines up a little bit behind the line of scrimmage, but it still is on the outside. Then you have a slot guy who works inside. Is this a situation where the Jets are going to want a very defined X receiver, a very defined wide receiver, a very defined slot receiver? Or will they want to mix and match? Will they want to move these guys around to try and confuse the defense, you know, to try and get favorable matchups, maybe move your top guy into the slot? Or do they want it more defined so the guys know their roles, so the guys are doing the same thing on a play-to-play basis? And on some level, listen, things are going to change. I mean, there's nothing is that static in today's NFL. There are very few teams where a guy plays X receiver 100% of the time. But there are definitely teams that have more defined roles and teams that really just mix and match completely through the game. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how the Jets address this position. But you're talking about building a young quarterback up. And this, again, is why I put wide receiver as higher priority than tight end. You want to give this guy as many quality options in the passing game as you can. And I know tight end can matter in the passing game, but at the end of the day, tight end's not as important as wide receiver. And to me, that's why this is really a critical spot to fill for the Jets in the offseason. And again, I think you could maybe you bring back Jamison Crowder and you have guys who are with more defined roles. If Crowder's back, then Corey Davis is going to be your X receiver. Elijah Moore is going to be your Y. Crowder's going to be in the slot. Or do you go for something bigger? Do you really try and build this into a big-time receiving core? And that's kind of the direction I'm leaning towards. I think the Jets really want to give Zach Wilson as many high-end options at wide receiver as they can. Because we've seen the opposite. Listen, we've seen through the years the Jets give their quarterback nothing at the receiver position. It would be nice to see the Jets do the opposite and have, you know, a budding promising player in Elijah Moore and Corey Davis, who, for all of his flaws, is still a competent starting receiver in this league, can they give him that third guy, that third quality option? I think that that's the kind of thing that really could help Zach Wilson along, and I think that that's got urgency, and it's difficult to say who the third starter would be right now if the season began today for the Jets, because the guys who would be the logical options, and again, I'm focusing on the guys under contract right now. You know, if you were just looking at the guys who were on the team this last year, it wouldn't be so bad, because you'd have Crowder, you'd have Berrios, who's a good depth player, you'd have even Keelan Cole, who's not a bad, like, number five receiver, but you don't have those guys under contract right now, so to me, that's a pretty glaring need. I think any of the three receiver positions is critical, especially when you have a quarterback going to his second year that you want to help out. But that's what I think. I'd love to hear what you think. That's all for today's show. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, give it a 5-star review, and please subscribe. Hope you have a great Tuesday, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow to talk more Jets.